Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another Read the Word. And today we're going to be in the life of Jesus right here on Read the Word. And I think we're going to find that we're going to enjoy this the next week or so, however long we're in here. But we're going to read the exact same stories we read last night tonight. Last night it was in the book of Luke. Tonight it's in the book of Mark. And I think these are my favorite stories of Jesus. I don't know how you can say that. The bottom line is he's teaching us the greatest parable there is, the parable of the sower. And then I love the story of the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, because it just paints such a picture of the kingdom. She did not beg Jesus to heal her. If you just have mercy on me, please, Jesus. She crawled through the street and took a healing.
Yeah.
She took a healing. And that's a pretty bold statement. That's a pretty bold statement. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And we'll get right into the Word of God for tonight. Are you ready? Hold your Bible up. And let's make our confession tonight. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
And he lives in me. I receive this word tonight.
I receive this word tonight.
This morning.
This morning.
Today. During the tribulation. I'm not going to be here, but you might be. And it's producing a hundredfold return and more.
It's producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. To the newborn king. To the newborn king. Here we go. The parables of Jesus. Again, chapter 4, verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land, facing the sea. He taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen. Wake up and pay attention. That word listen actually means hear, pay attention. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. You ever notice that weeds can grow faster than good seed?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You know how fast a pigweed will grow in your garden. Remember them pigweeds from when we was kids? Out there pulling them up. Mom would say, if you get them when they're small, they're not hard to pull out. But if you wait, then them babies got big.
Real quick.
Real quick.
And real strong.
Well, and they suck up all the nutrients. Not eight. Was no time to preach. Just read. Other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop. that sprang up, increased, produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is my seed illustration. This is the seeds out of one cantaloupe that I harvested from Walmart. We had to pick it really tough. Inside, if I could get that piece of paper to lay in there, right? You can see it. Inside, there's 231 hills of three seeds. There's 663 seeds inside that one cantaloupe. So this is what Jesus is talking about right here. All right. And he said, some seed in good ground produce 100-fold. Well, three cantaloupe seeds produce a hill. A hill produces 4 to 8 cantaloupe. So if you had 8 cantaloupe with 661 seeds, you would have almost 5,000 seeds.
Wow.
Yeah, anyways, that's what Jesus is talking about. If you can see it in the natural, then you can see it in the supernatural. Verse 9, he said to them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He was alone. Those around him with the 12 said, ask about the parable. He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now, Jesus isn't saying he don't want people forgiven, but he's saying it takes desire. And if you don't have the desire, he puts it in a parable so you're not held accountable for it.
Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Roger.
Blessings to you, too.
Love you, man. Verse 13, Mark 4:13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables I'm teaching? This is the most important parable of all that Jesus taught for you to get a hold of. Read it and read it and read it. Read it out loud. And quote it and speak it. And share it to others. Because you got to get this. Your life is like dirt, soil. This word is the seed. Right now tonight, I'm being the sower, putting the word in. If you got a bunch of stones, you got hard parts in your heart, it won't grow. If you got a bunch of thorns, cares of the world, it's not going to grow. If you've taken a whole bunch of religious doctrine that ain't true, and believe that as your reality of God, that seed won't have any ability to get in, because your heart is hard. You till your ground, get rid of the rocks, pull out the thorns, and be good ground, and you'll produce. Verse 13, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand the parable? The sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. They hear. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones on stony ground. Immediately, when they hear the word, they receive it with great gladness. Hallelujah. But they have no root in themselves. And so they only endure for a while. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Don't surrender your word.
Amen.
When you get a revelation, do everything in your power to keep that revelation. Verse 18, these are ones sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. The desires for other things entering in to your heart choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. The cares of the world, can you get rid of them? No, they're going to be there. You have to learn how to handle them. The deceitfulness of riches, can you get rid of that? Yeah, probably so. The desire for other things, you can get rid of them. Cares of the world, they're there. You're going to pay your light bill. You're going to pay your rent bill. You got to buy tires. You got to buy a new car. You got to get some new clothes. You got to have supper. That's the cares of the world. 20. These are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Verse 21, he also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Well, of course, yes. There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you to seek after. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use to hear, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has seed sown in your heart, producing the harvest, more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And it's so sad to see that some people, they get that word and they get it, but then the fiery darts come and they begin to accept the fiery darts as if it's your own statement. Don't do that. Hold on to it. But if you're listening to more gospel music than you actually are reading your Bible, you're going to become very weak, because you got to get this word inside of you. There's no other way around it. The only way to change what's in your heart is to get the word in your heart. Well, Pastor, my songs I listen to all have the word in them. Well, I don't doubt that. But the only way to get this word in your heart is open the book and speak it from your mouth and see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears, and then it goes down in your heart, chapter and verse, and then, like Jesus said, it'll produce a hundredfold return in your life. Here's the reality. There's no shortcut. Are you one of them that's always looking for a shortcut? I just soon have a shortcut as a long drive sometimes. I'm a guy that'll cut it. I'll cut through the backyard.
No, we always take the long way around.
The point is this. There's only one way to get the word in your heart, and that is with your eyes and your mouth and your ears. It's the only way. That's God's system. So do it. Verse 26, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, should sleep by night, rise by day, seed would sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now watch. Told you the story last night. I'm going to say it again tonight. Down the dairy farm, plowed the field 1 year, no rock. Plowed the field the next year, hit a rock. Flipped the plow right up out of the ground. Next time around, I got to that spot, I could see it going down the furrow. I'm like, that is a rock. Where was it last year? I plowed the same field. It wasn't there. But I want you to get this picture. The earth tries to grow whatever is in the soil. So that soil is working that rock, working it, working it, working it, trying to get it to die. Grain of seed will die in the ground, and then it comes to life. Well, that rock ain't going to do that. This rock was so huge, it took 3 tractors to get it out of the ground. 3 tractors. It was huge, probably 8 feet tall. It's a huge rock. But where was it last year? That plow furrow is 8 inches deep, I think. And that means that ground moved that rock 8 inches in that 1 year.
Isn't that amazing? Wow.
And I told him, quit trying to farm a gravel pit. But see, I want you to see this about your life. The soil of your heart that has hard places and things that happen to you that cause you pain and they're hard, that's going to come bubbling to the surface when you put the word down in there. Get rid of it. Quit meditating in it. Put it under the blood, forgive them, and move on so that you can be free from those hard things. And in actuality, when you got a farmer who's a good farmer, he'll have a big rock pile out there. What's that a sign of? A good farmer. Right? And then what's he do? He's a wise farmer and sells that stuff for somebody else that wants it for landscaping that don't know how to pull out their own stones out of their own yard. Woo! I've got a long ways to go and I'm just preaching. This is my favorite. Once I saw it, I'm like, wow, this makes the whole kingdom simple. I got to. Nobody can do it for me. I got to get this book open and read it with these eyes, hear it with these ears, speak it with this mouth so that it can go down in my heart. Verse 30. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed. Here's the seed again. Which when it's sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs. Shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Verse 33, and with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Why? They wanted to know. And as long as you want to know, God's going to give you information because he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not who hang around with those who diligently seek him. You got to do your own diligent seek and nobody can judge you. 35, on the same day, when Pastor Sam had got done teaching, we all got hoped. And he said, let's go to the other side. He had a word of knowledge. There was a man over there that needed to be delivered. When they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. As he was. That's an interesting statement. Took him in the boat as he was. How else are you going to take him? And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on the pillow. As he was, must have meant he brought his pillow with him. And he said to them, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I just taught you about the mustard seed and the seed and the good ground. And you've been with me for how many days now? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, he's Jesus of Nazareth, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, just like you and I. How cool is that? Same thing Jesus did, you and I get to do too. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to another side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. When he came out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tomb, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. That's serious right there.
Yeah.
That's serious. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with a stone. Just like in our day, young people cut themselves. Well, not just young people, old people now too. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, the man who was in the body, the man, not the demon. Ran and worshipped Jesus. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what the demon did, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Can you imagine a demon calling on God to tell Jesus not to torment him? He said, come out of that man, you unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we're many. He begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Why? They were controlling all the commerce right there on that road, on the edge of that seashore. A demon was. Because nobody would go by there because of that demon-possessed man. Right? 11, a large herd of swine was feeding them there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Unclean spirits went out, entered the swine. There were about 2,000 swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. You know how big of a field you got to have for 2,000 pigs?
Wow.
Now, were those pigs more obedient than the pigs today? Because I've never seen two pigs run in the same direction. No less 20 or 200 or 2,000. So those who fed the swine fled, no doubt. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in their right mind. His right mind. And they were afraid. Oh, it's good to hear a word from a far country. Verse 16, those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. When he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them the great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And then if you go back farther on in Jesus' ministry, when Jesus goes back to Decapolis, this man had won the whole region to the kingdom because of his testimony. Tell your testimony. Just don't glory in the sin, glory in the righteousness, and glory in the deliverance. Amen. Too many people, when they tell their testimony, want to glory in the sin and the wickedness. Don't glory in that. Glory in the righteousness and the deliverance. And you'll win a bunch of people just by your testimony. We overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Verse 21. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. And he was by the sea. And one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. Did you notice? He said to Jesus, if you come do it, she will live. He's acting in faith. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, she said in her heart, out of her mouth, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well, or one translation says whole. 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Well, they're thronging him. Remember, the word that used was throng. And his disciples said to him, you see the multitudes, Jesus, thronging you, and you say, who touched me? He looked around to see her who had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the story. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. You go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now, Jairus has a decision to make right there. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue and could have had her stoned for being in the street bleeding. And he could get offended right now. Jesus hadn't stopped for that woman. But that's not going to keep faith moving in his heart.
Right.
So watch. 36, as soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. In other words, hang on to your original statement. Jesus, if you come to my house and lay hands on her, she'll be healed. Hold on to that. He permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Makes you wonder what he did with the throng. Turned around and said, all y'all stay here. Something like that. Came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, saw tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? Child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he put them all aside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. He took the child by hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the little girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. He commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said something should be given her to eat. Now, in these two chapters, I'm going to circle the wagons. Watch this. In these two chapters, you see Jesus teach the parable of the sower. Get a word, put it in your heart, and speak it out of your mouth. The woman, flow of blood, said, 12 years, it's bad. I've been bleeding for 12 years, spent all my money, none the better. And she got a revelation that if Jesus comes in here, I'm just going to go out and touch the hem of his garment, because people had touched the hem of his garment and been made whole. And so she said in her heart, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she said that enough till it grew in faith in her heart. And when Jesus walked by, she went out of the house, crawled to touch the hem of his garment while she's bleeding, knowing she can be stoned for that. And Jesus didn't say, I perceive there's a woman crawling. Everybody pause. Let's stop and heal the lady. No, he didn't know she was there until she touched the hem of the garment and virtue left him. And he's like, whoa, somebody just had faith. It's amazing to see. I can tell here when somebody's in faith. I can tell here when somebody's in resistance. I can tell tonight during our program, I had some pastors on there. They were like, "This, I can see this, but I got to change what I'm teaching, and I don't know if I can do that." Well, yes, you can. Put that back over on the shelf over there. So Jesus taught the parable of the sower. that it's your heart. You put the word in your heart and it'll produce. And then it happens right in front of your face. Jesus put the word in his heart when he was young that be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, and replenish it. He put that in there. So when the storm showed up, he's like, peace, be still. Took dominion of it. Why? The word was in his heart, and it produced faith in his life. And that's what the whole Christian life is all about. Every day we live. Everywhere we go. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we always want to give everybody an opportunity to know Jesus as your personal, that's what the old saying was, to be right with God and walk with him. Yes, he'll be your personal savior, but it's a whole lot more than just ask him into your heart and there the work is done. No, it's your first step to walk with God. You ready? Everybody pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray. Even if you've prayed it 100 times. Wait, this is day what? 200. Even if you've prayed it 288 times with us. That's pretty cool. We made 288 videos. That's pretty amazing, actually. Wow. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it. Jesus, here's your chance. You know, here's where you make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life.
You into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
with
life.
With all the fullness of
with
God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in
power. Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful
and live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty
name. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the family of God. You did it. Isn't that awesome? In that 2-minute prayer, you went from darkness to light. Because God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You went from fear to faith. Why? Because Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just came in. You said, I receive all of your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. The blood of Jesus washed all your sin, threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, and now you're white as snow, one with him. Glory be to God. Now, on the inside, you're experiencing a wonderful change. And the question always is, what do I do now? Walk with God every day as a believer. Say this, I will walk with God every day as a believer.
I will walk with God every day as a believer.
How do I do that? Just believe. And every day when you wake up, say, Father, help me walk with you. And all day long, as you live your life, just say that. Father, help me walk with you. Because here's what will happen. God is in here now. By Jesus, God, by the Holy Spirit. And they're going to lead you from the inside out, not from heaven on the throne down through your thick, crusty skull that the coach said you'll never learn. No, they're in here. And as you say, help me walk with you, all day long, that presence will guide you. And if you start getting a bad attitude, you'll hear it on the inside. No, 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 no. That's God talking to you. Mm-hmm. It is. And then you'll do something for somebody, and on the inside, you'll be warm, and you'll feel amazing, and you'll be like, you'll hear that, wow, good job. And then you're like, wow, God just told me I did a good job. It's because you did. And all of a sudden you'll say, I'm walking with God every day. And you know what? You don't need me to give you a list of the do's and don'ts. Don't do this and do this. You don't need that. Why? Because you are walking with God, building a relationship with him every day. This word will come alive. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts. And then read it again. And then read it again. Like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And be a part of what we do here every day. And every day, we're going to disciple you in the things of God. Anybody that sticks with us for 6 months, you ain't the same person. You're going to grow and develop and be established in God. In Jesus' mighty name. What else? I feel like there's something else I need to say here. Oh, yeah, there is. Tomorrow morning on the program, we'll have communion together and read the word. And you can find my email address and website right down there in the comments and the notes. And send me an email. Tell me your story. Honestly, do it. I don't spam you. I don't beg for money. I don't do anything. If you're going to support us, you are. And if you're not, you're not. And there ain't no bad money in this place at all. We want everybody happy. We'll take every penny you got. You give us. We got a multi-million dollar vision. But I'm not going to come begging you for money. We're going to tell you what we're doing and get involved and help us. Why? Because the Father told you to. That's the best offering there is. Anyways, send us a message. We'll help you walk with God. Yeah. Well, I got 288 videos right here that'll help you walk with God. And then we've been doing this for 2.5 years now, so we can help you in any area of your life learn to walk with the Father in Jesus' mighty name. So, till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. He really is. We'll see you soon. In Jesus' mighty name. All of you on Blog Talk Radio, if you want this translated into your native language, send me an email and send me a picture. So we got a picture of you up here. And I'll help you know how to do it. God's given me a plan. And I want to help you get it in your own native language. That'd be an amazing thing. In Jesus' name. See you soon.